Smyrna, 790thezone.com, and on your iPhone and Android apps, a Lincoln Financial Media Station. From live interviews with coaches, to in-depth player sit-downs, to comprehensive breakdowns of games, this is 790 The Zone's presentation of The Coaches Show. And here's your host, Dave Archer and Wes Durham.
And a pleasant good afternoon. Welcome to Flowery Branch for the Mike Smith Show here with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and our player guest in half hour, number two, will be linebacker Sean Weatherspoon. It was a cold day in Green Bay, Chamber of Commerce weather up there this time of year seemingly, and the Packers rallied in the second half to defeat the Falcons yesterday 22-21. Atlanta will welcome Washington to the Georgia Dome, second-to-last home game of the year for the Falcons, at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And our coverage begins with AT&T's countdown to kickoff. J.P. Peterson and Algie Crumpler on the floor of the Georgia Dome at 11 a.m. And, Smitty, I could tell after the ball game yesterday there was just details. I mean, one little thing here, one little thing there could have been the difference in that ball game for your club.
I think you're 100% right, Wes, in terms of we did not execute with much precision on certain plays, and it turned out to be four or five plays in that ball game that cost us. And when you are in a close game, you've got to be precise mm-hmm. In your execution, and we were not, especially in the second half of the ball game.
Smitty, how did you feel like? And I know that, and I've heard coaches tell me this before, and it's certainly true that both teams play in the elements, and it was cold, and it was the ground was not great, and I saw DB slipping and falling. How did you feel like your guys specifically handled it? Because I know there's certain kids that have probably never ever even been in that situation before that had a chance to play in that. I don't know if Robert Alford's ever played in a game like that, but he certainly held up pretty well and handled himself extremely well in the game. But did you feel like, to a man, that your guys handled those elements in those situations okay?
I really thought we did. Dave, the elements were not good. It wasn't the type of atmosphere that you really want to play a game in. It was cold. As the game went on, the field started to freeze, so the footing changed from the first half to the second half. In the first half, it was more mud, and you could mutter. It was more of a mutter situation. In the second half, it did freeze, but I thought our guys handled it well. We did a good job in preparing them with the right footwear. You're doing as much as you can to keep them warm on the sidelines, and we didn't want them overdressed when they were on the field. And for the most part, I thought that we handled it well. We just didn't make those plays in the second half. We just couldn't get it going offensively to put something together in that third quarter.
Now, the natural ebb and flow of a game happens every Sunday. We see that, or whatever day, Monday night, whatever day you're playing on. How much does that potentially change as you get a game that has circumstances where the field's okay in the first 25 minutes, and the next thing you know, you look up and you're in the third quarter and the field's gotten crappy and it's hard to keep your footing? How much do you change your game plan? What do you do in that situation?
Well, we were going to be a little bit more aggressive in the first half. We knew that there was a chance that that it could change in the second half of the ball game. And it came down to the short field that we presented to them on the sack fumble with the strip of the quarterback. There, it actually took place in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. but at the beginning mm-hmm. of the fourth
right.
quarter, the third quarter had just ended, and we had not really been able to establish anything in the second half, the first three drives, and it came down to me that, In my mind, that was probably the critical play in the ball game, and then we had some opportunities to maybe get us into makeable field goal range. We were right at the edge, probably a couple yards outside of where we had thought we could attempt a field goal, but we tried it, and we ended up coming up a couple yards short.
I guess you also had that same kind of decision process with your opening possession yesterday as well, didn't you? Because you got down and ended up ultimately punting with Matt Bosher. Conditions contribute to that decision?
Yes. And again, it was a situation where we had set the parameters, and then mm-hmm. you make a judgment call, and and you go with it. We punted early in the game. We tried a field goal, and we went for it on fourth down. So we basically ended up trying three different strategies. And unfortunately, we didn't get it done.
A couple of things yesterday that came out of the ballgame. Jonathan Masqua had his first multi-sack game, Coach, and we've talked about him from time to time here in the last month or so. One of a handful of guys on this football team that have clearly taken advantage and developed now here in his particular case year two, be it a Paul Warlow, Joppa Bartu over the course of this calendar year. But in Jonathan's case, I think you got to be pretty pleased with his schedule.
I thought he played his best game of his career. He had two tackles on special teams on kickoff cover. He's been doing a very good job covering kicks. And then he is really starting to get into his own and getting a feel for how to rush the passer. The multi-sack game is big for him. That's going to give him a lot of confidence. And he's playing with a lot of energy. And I think the arrow is definitely pointing up for Jonathan to have us a guy that potentially has the ability to be a very disruptive player on the defensive line.
Smitty, looking at a couple of the big guys up front, I know you want to win the football game. You also want to give some guys a chance to get in and help contribute to win the football game. Lamar Holmes looks like he continues to come on for you. He matched up against one of the best pass rushers in the league all day long, did not give up a sack, to my knowledge, may have gave up a little inside penetration on a couple of run plays. And then you also got Ryan Schrader a lot of time. Give us an idea how you felt like those two guys played.
Well, I think Lamar continues to mature as a left tackle in the NFL. And, of course, he's played right tackle as well, so he's got the ability to play both sides. Thought he did a very good job against Clay Matthews. I think there was one maybe hurry and one hit. And Clay is one of the premier pass rushers in our league. And then Ryan Schrader, we wanted to give him some significant playing time and not just rotate him in and out. We wanted to get him a stretch where he was going to play 30, 35 plays and see how he handled that. And he did some good things. He's got some things that he can improve on. We gave up the sack strip fumble, which was a big play in the ball game, but he'll learn from that. And it was good to see him get an opportunity to go out there and play.
In his defense, I'm guessing here, it looked like he had a flash play fake, double slants on that side of the field. Is an offensive lineman anticipating, is there a clock in his head when he's expecting the ball to come out? Obviously Matt decided to pull it down, was looking the other side when the ball was jarred out. Can that happen to an offensive lineman where he feels like the ball is supposed to be out a certain time and maybe lets down a little bit or lets that protection go?
Oh, I think that there is a clock in your head that when the ball is going to go out, but you've got to make sure that you continue to protect throughout the entire down until the whistle blows. When there's a three-step or a five-step, we all know that there's a time that we want to get the ball out, but the play doesn't always go as designed. And we need to do a better job in that situation. And that was one of the key plays in the game. There were a handful of them, just like anyone. That's not the reason that we lost the football game. We had our opportunities to go out there and get a stop on defense in that situation. There were some other plays in the game that were not executed as well as we needed them to be.
Does that continue to be a maddening part of the game for you, being a guy that has a lot of defensive background as a coordinator in this league, that the struggle continues with the third down thing? Because you first and second down, all of a sudden you got third and nine, and they find a way, the quarterback gets out, or they find a way to get a contested catch completion and extends the drives. Is that one that kind of you want to bang your head on the wall against, I guess?
Certainly do. And, again, I think just like the previous week, we were very poor on third downs in the first half of the game yesterday. I believe they converted 7 out of 10
right
in the first half, and then they were 0-for-5 in the second half. So we got better as the game progressed, but we've got to do a better job. We are 32nd in the NFL. You are what your record says you are and what your stats are, and we're 32nd in the league right now in third down efficiency. And it's a fine line. You know, one out of every fifth play in a game is a third down. So it's about 20% of the snaps. So we've got to get better in that situation. And we've tried many different things, zones, man, zone pressures. And a lot of it has to do with us not executing, and it goes hand in hand. It's not just the secondary. It's the linebackers and the defensive line.
Coach, it also, I guess, is one stat, that third down defense, that kind of personifies the one thing you've talked about, and that's lack of consistency. There are a couple of games you're right there, and then a game or two where it goes south on you a little bit and you get it back in the road. But it has been an inconsistent trait of this football team, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. It's probably been the most inconsistent trait defensively, that and explosive plays. And like I said, you're going to get around 15 third downs in a ball game, and those are the critical downs because they keep a series going or ending. And we've exposed ourselves to many more plays, and then in turn that exposes you to the potential to have explosive plays, and we need to get off the field and get the ball back to our offense.
We got more coming up with Falcon head coach Mike Smith. Don't forget, Monday is a great time for the Pizza Hut $10 deal. Perfect for the ball game tonight. Bears and Cowboys, Arch, I think that's the ball game tonight.
Big game for both.
That's right. Any pizza, any toppings, just $10 when you carry out only at your locally owned and operated Pizza Hut. We got more from Flowery Branch coming up with the head coach of the Falcons right after this on 790 The Zone.
It's 23 with 10:53 to play, and Flynn going to be sacked. Ball is loose, and Atlanta's recovered it. William Moore hammered him, and Malachi Goodman fell on the loose change at the Packer 13-yard line. He took off with it to the other side of the field.
Yes, he did. He got out of there, and he's going to take that home with him.
Make sure you take advantage of Verizon's NFL Mobile. It's an app that you can get Star NFL to get NFL Mobile on the Verizon carrier. Live games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Red Zone. You can watch every score 24/7 NFL Network. Don't forget NFL Mobile, Star NFL, to get that for Verizon right now.
And don't forget, we've got our final show next Monday with Coach Mike Smith. You can ask him a question by going to defendthedome.com. If your question's selected during our segment each week, you'll win a $50 gift card from the NFLshop.com. We've talked about young guys time and again a little bit during the course of this season, Smitty. It was interesting because yesterday we saw maybe a little more of them in terms of continuity in the course of the ball game, and yet we saw one of your crafted guys, and I knew you were asked about this in the press conference, Tony Gonzalez ended up being in on every offensive snap yesterday. So while your young guys are there, your most trusted veteran is also a guy who's also still having an impact on what's been a tough season for your team.
Well, there's no doubt that Tony isn't having an impact on our season. Just to see his professionalism, the season hasn't gone the way that we've wanted. He's just another great example of what being a pro is all about. He's going to go out there and give it his all every day on practice, and every day he goes out on game day. And it's great to have a guy like that for our football team to learn from, probably the best that's ever played that position.
Let me ask you, Dave and I have been asked, I guess, time and again in the last 5 years, what's it been like to watch Tony Gonzalez? What's it been like to coach Tony Gonzalez?
Well, it's a pleasure. You know that Tony's work ethic is as good as anybody's in the NFL. He's not a real vocal guy. He comes to work, and when he is here, nobody works harder than he does. He's working on his trade, and that's playing the position of tight end, and it's rubbed off on other players on our football team. I've said it many times. Guys see how Tony does it, and they want to try to apply it to their position. He's a lot like another guy that I coached in Ray Lewis, that you know, you try to mimic what they're doing because obviously they're doing something right to have had the careers that they've had. But, you know, Tony is a team player. He's a guy that wants to see everybody do well, and he will reach out and try to help everybody on the team.
Well, Smitty, in light of how many guys, young players that are playing on the field, and I think we counted at one point defensively, you had two rookie linebackers, three rookie defensive backs, and two rookie defensive linemen on the field at the same time. In light of what you said about Tony, it kind of transcends what side of the ball he plays on, the work ethic he brings to the team. How much value, maybe hidden value, obviously we didn't want the season to go this way, but the hidden value that Tony brought to the table for you in light of the way the season's gone with all the young players you're having to play.
Well, these young guys are having an opportunity to see Tony and experience how he works, and I think it's going to rub off on them and help them. Anybody that's around Tony Gonzalez is in a football setting is going to be exposed to some great things, and they just need to take it, grab it, and use the things that he does, because he's been very successful.
As you watch Paul Warlow and his game evolve as a linebacker, and obviously there's a degree of, hey, I don't know what the hell's going on out here. I just need to line up in the right spot and make sure I get to my gap. How much have you seen his game grow? He had a couple of negative plays, I think a sack and a half yesterday, made I think a couple plays behind the line of scrimmage in the run game. How much do you see his game increasing and seeing those run-through plays where he makes the negative play because his mind's been freed up and when he can squeeze the trigger?
Yeah, he's feeling the game. He really has over the last couple of weeks. We know that he makes a lot of tackles. And I think the thing that you're seeing is what you just mentioned. He was making a lot of tackles, but they were on our side of the line of scrimmage. Now in the game yesterday, he had those wow plays that were taking place in the backfield. And, you know, Paul studies the game extremely hard. I think that Coach Glenn Pyrus has done an outstanding job with the situation at the linebacker position this season, with having to get Paul ready to go and playing this many snaps. He played 100% of the snaps yesterday, and then also drop low bar too. Those guys have had their maturation process accelerated in this first season, and I think it's going to pay dividends these next three games, and it's also going to pay dividends in the future.
Smitty, where does Warlow pick up the technique to have the ball deflect off his foot for the other guy? Is that something that you guys have worked on?
We haven't worked on that one. We work on lots of things, but that's not one of them.
Stay in the game long enough, you'll see everything once, won't you?
That's right. Unless he played hacky sack when he was growing up, I may need to ask Paul that. But that was that was a big play for us in the ball game, and it was really good to see Sean returned that ball. Sean's had a tough year, physically with his injuries, and he's playing through them. He's not even close to being 100%. I think we all know that when you watch him play out there. But he's going out there and giving it his all, and it was great to see him return that ball. Robert Alford, the young guy you mentioned, he had a great block there inside the 15-yard line, did a great job for about 20 yards helping Sean go. Now, I think that there was a thought at one point it looked like that Sean maybe wanted to pitch it to Robert, but I thought I heard Robert going, no, no, no.
Like last week,
like
right?
Like last week, yeah.
Hey,
right.
You mentioned in your press comments the injury to Thomas Dekou, and obviously he goes into the league's concussion protocol program. Zeke Mata came in, did a nice job for you. We've talked about him. But also a young man who's in – we talked during the break about Kamal Ishmael. If Dekou is not available, then that would put the rookie from Central Florida up to bat, correct?
That's correct. If Thomas is not going to be able to play this week, then Kamal would get his spot on the 46-man roster, and he would be the guy that would be the first man in. It'd give us an opportunity. Kamal, I think, has been active a couple of games this year, but has only played on special teams. It would give us an opportunity, give Kamal an opportunity, which he deserves. He's worked extremely hard to get some playing time. We certainly hope that Thomas is going to be able to recover, but as you know, and we all know, that's not like a typical injury when you're dealing with a concussion. The return to play is different for each individual, and we just know that Thomas will go through that protocol throughout the week, and if he's not ready to go, then we'll have to bring Camille up.
So, many here come the Washington Redskins in to take on your team in your building. They're going through some similar problems up there as far as being able to win or lose football games, a playoff team a year ago. Now, a lot of stuff going on off the field with that team up there, but that's not something you're concerned with. You're concerned with who you're going to see on the field, and you've got a guy, when he's right, in RG3 that can create some major problems for you, as well as Alfred Morris, who can run the ball.
Oh, they do create a lot of issues offensively. Robert Griffiths III is already thrown for 3,000 yards this season. And Alfred Morris is a big back that's rushed for 1,000 yards. Pierre Garçon, their wide receiver, has received 1,000 yards. So he's got 1,000 yards in receiving. They've got some speed at the wide receiver group. And Jim Haslett and his defensive staff, they're very multiple in what they do, so they create some issues in terms of identification. So it'll be a big challenge for us. But we need to get back on the winning ways, get another win at home that kind of sets us up for the last two games of the season.
We talk about this a lot, especially last year when you were placing some teams that weren't going to go to the playoffs that were trying to evaluate their roster. What are you going to see? They're in a very similar situation from an evaluation mode, yet trying to win just like you are. How much does that change what you prepare for? Because now it's an open book of maybe a gadget play here, a gadget play there, something that maybe kickstarts them and gets them kind of going in a game. How is it difficult to prepare for a game plan like that?
Well, I think it is going to be based a little bit on who's going to be playing quarterback. That's first and foremost. I think that our preparation at this point in time, till we hear something different, is that we're going to see Robert Griffith III, at the quarterback position. And as you know, we have to account for him as a running back because they will run some of the read option. So we've got to be prepared for that. And if not, if they bring in their backup quarterback who played some in the game yesterday, he's more of the drop back. I don't think you'll see him running the read option. I think we are familiar with both of them because we played last year, and we were in a situation where Robert Griffin III got hit running the ball down in the red zone. I think the guy that's going to be here with you next half hour was the guy that put the shot on him. And we ended up facing Kirk Cousins there in the second half of that ball game.
All right, Smitty, thanks as always. Appreciate the time. Sean Weatherspoon is coming up on the heels of his first career touchdown. We'll talk to Spoon in the players segment of the Mike Smith Coaches Show after this on 7-9 of the Zone.
Is that picked off? It is. And this is Paul Warlow running with our Spoon, running with the football. And Sean Weatherspoon still on his feet. 10-5. Touchdown, Atlanta. What in the world? 71 yards if it stands. It was hard to tell if the ball ever hit the ground. And what a huge play this could be if it stands here with 23 seconds to play in this first half.
Yeah, the ball hits Warlow's foot. This is going to be a touchdown by the Falcons.
Unbelievable. A kick save and a beauty by Paul Warlow.
Unbelievable.
Make sure you check out Verizon Edge, a new plan that lets you get a 4G LTE phone when you want it. No down payment, no upgrade fees, no long-term service contract, only from Verizon. Verizon Edge.
Our SunTrust Bank shining play of the game, the first ever career interception for a touchdown for Sean Weatherspoon, brought to you by SunTrust. How can we help you shine today? And I've got to tell you this, Spoon. Arch and I have talked for, 3-4 years now, that once you scored a touchdown, there was going to be this unbelievable presentation you know, the spoon. We were going to draw the utensil. We were going to do all this.
And he was going to break out a ladle.
It was going to be unbelievable. and little did we know that it would be a 70-yard interception return, and you went to both knees when you hit the end zone.
Yeah. Well, man, all my life I thought about what I would do in the end zone and thought about this big presentation just like you guys talked about. And, you know, when I got there, I was just – so tired, I was spent. So I just got down on the knee, man, and just thanked the big man upstairs for, you know, blessing me with the kick from Paul, you know, and the tip from Parade, the kick from Paul, and the 71-yard touchdown to end the half was pretty awesome, man. And you know, I'm just thankful. I was spent though, and I was tired.
One of the things lost in this was Parade Jerry got a hand on it at the line, right?
Yes, he did, man. It was one of those plays, you know, where you just got to continue to play and finish out the down. And no matter what happens, you always want to sell it. That's what I was told when I was a kid. So we just tried to do that, and it ended up being a great play by Paul. And, you know, just to kick it up off the ground, and I just somehow came up with it, man. And got the escort to the end zone. So, you know, definitely thankful for that.
Spoon, what were the conditions like? You played some cold weather games at Missouri. People don't realize that it gets pretty cold late in the season in those Big 12 games that you played in at Missouri. But this was a little bit different level. How was it to kind of deal with the conditions and get out there and play your best football?
Well, I have to go back and do some research to see, you know, what's the coldest game I've ever played in. Because I have played in a game with snow and sleet and, you know, rain and cold rain, all that all in one. So, you know, I've had some tough games, but, you know, the wind chill was pretty tough on us yesterday, and just breathing that in constantly, you know, takes a toll on you. But, you know, it was fun to be at Lambeau Field playing football in December.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no better venue than playing in Titletown and in that on that field with everything that's gone on there. When you look at what you guys were able to do defensively, certainly it started pretty fast for you guys. You made two big plays. Over the last 2 weeks, you've taken the football away four times. Prior to that, only eight takeaways in the previous, 10 games,
right.
11 games. So four takeaways. Is that something that just happens, or is there something you guys concertedly talked about to get the ball? Obviously, the Warlow thing was a kind of a happenstance-type play, but Willie Moe makes a big play, gets the ball out?
Well, we definitely talk about it all the time. You know, you got to continue to play. And play physical, and I think those were some physical plays. You know, Will on that blitz on the outside, hitting the quarterback right there in the back, getting that takeaway was great for us and gave us some momentum on offense as well. And, you know, you just always talk about, you know, just finishing. That's how the takeaways actually come about, you know, going all the way to the end. And I think we did a good job of that yesterday to get some takeaways. But, you know, we definitely wanted to get the win. You know, that's the main thing, so. What we want to do is go back to work and continue to work at getting the ball out and get it out some more. And, you know, hopefully we can pull together a win in front of the home crowd.
Sean Weatherspoon's here with us in the players segment of the Mike Smith Show this week on 7-9 The Zone. This has not been an easy year for you from an injury standpoint. It started actually, I guess, in training camp. Then you had the injury in week two against St. Louis, and now you've come back and – what have you learned through this process? I know we've touched on it a couple of weeks ago in a piece we did for television, but has it kind of been a different year for you in a lot of ways?
Yeah, it has. It's been uphill. And, you know, I'm 25. I'll be 26 this month. But this year I feel like I'm about 30. So,
Oh, that's old too.
Yeah.
Football
years.
That's really old.
Football years. Disrespect to the 30-year-old guys that play, you know, for the Falcons.
Or those of us that are older than that, right? Yeah.
You know, we have a few guys up there.
Yeah.
But it's been rough, man. And ultimately, you just got to stay strong in your faith and continue to pray, continue to, you know, do your treatments, continue to stay on top of the game mentally and just continue to just work, man. And there's no cue in me. And I don't even say the word, but there's no cue in me, and I know there's no cue in this team. So we're going to continue to keep going and keep fighting, man, and work hard, work for perfection. We know we can't get perfection, but if you work at it, I think it'll help you be, you know, closer to that word. So we just want to continue to work, man, and see what happens this next one.
Spoon, you have such a great attitude, an infectious attitude that affects the other players around you, your ability to lift guys up and get guys going. How hard has it been for you to do that and still – I know you're nowhere near 100%. I'm guessing, but having been around the game a long time, I'd guess 85% would probably be somewhere in the ballpark for you right now. yet you continue to try to go out there and help your team. How tough has that been to not be able to be at your best, yet still be the leader on the team?
Well, I love football, so I want to play regardless. If I can go out there, if I'm hobbling, then if I can help the team in some way, then I still want to be out there. But it's tough when you're, you know, throughout the week it's a little bit tougher. Because you work, you go to practice, and you work, and you want to stay upbeat, but you've been losing. So it makes it tough. But when you get out there on the field, it's all about, you know, that day, that game, that play, that opponent. And it's about just, you know, play after play, just continuing to stay positive and continuing to lead.
It's interesting you say that, because that's a great point in the fact that we can get caught up in what the record looks like from Monday mm-hmm. to Saturday. Mm-hmm. But on Sunday – and I remember being in these situations. Unfortunately, I played on some teams that were in a similar situation record-wise. When you step on the field Sunday, you kind of don't really remember what your record is in that situation. Do you find that you do have a number of guys around you that are the same way?
Yeah, you can sense it because, I mean, we're excited. Just like we're playing, you know, for something else after the regular season. And, you know, as a defense, you know, that's all I can talk about is what I'm involved in. And I just know that the guys that I'm playing with, you know, they don't care about the record. It's all about finishing strong. And when you get out there on the field, it's all about winning, because that's the only reason you play the game.
You very quickly have gone to leadership status on this team. Mm-hmm. It didn't take long. But in a season like this, what's the most important variable for this team? Maybe not in these final three ball games of this season, but moving forward to 2014, what for the guys that are going to be the core of next year's team, what's the most important thing that's been achieved this year or learned this year?
I think the most important thing is that, you know, you have to understand that you just can't, you know, go through training camp and get through training camp and get to the season and automatically think that, you know, you're going to go out and win 10, 11, 12 ball games. And I know that's the mindset you always want to be thinking about, you know, what you want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. But I think you just have to continue to work hard from day one in order to get there. So it's kind of like a wake-up call for guys that have been around here and the new guys that have known nothing but, you know, winning from this regime of, you know, the Falcons. So, you know, it's going to be a great offseason to kind of look in the mirror and see what you need to do in order to get ready to be better than what you were in 2013.
What did you guys do, and I don't know whether it was just maybe you stepped up the effort. They were 7 of 10 on third down in the first half, and somebody just told us 0 for 5 in the second mm-hmm. half on right. third down. Now, they had some first down and second down success, mm-hmm. which were able to keep a couple drives alive. Ultimately, they ended up with a couple of field goals. You guys rose up and set them down to field goals. But what were you able to do on third down that you weren't able to do in the first half?
Well, I think we just actually we did a better job of knowing the down and distance, a better job of tackling on those third downs, and a better job of keeping our hands, you know, off the receivers down the field when there is a third down. You know, we had a chance to actually play defense, and I think the guys just really, you know, took initiative upon themselves to go out and do their job. And if you look around on those third downs in the second half, everybody was kind of, you know, rolling on all cylinders, doing their thing. And I think we got the ball back to the O, and that's all we wanted to do.
I know you commented on this after the game, and I knew you were pissed that you weren't able to take care of business in that sudden change situation where the ball got out. They ultimately weren't able to either. Their defense was unable to overcome the fumble by Flynn. You guys weren't able to overcome the fumble by Ryan. I know you guys take that personally, right, when you get a short field opportunity like that?
You do, because, I mean, of course, you're sitting over there on the bench, and all of a sudden it's just, boom, let's go. And you have two choices. And I think your attitude will determine, you know, what happens out there. And I think we always go out with the right attitude. It's been I think that Tampa game down in Tampa, we didn't have the right attitude when we went out on the field after some sudden changes. And I think, you know, that kind of gave us something to work toward, you know, mm-hmm. for the next time we'd be put in that situation. So, you know, we came out with the right attitude, but, you know, they made a play. They made a play or two here and there, and, you know, Flynn got the ball in the end zone to the tight end, and it's a good play by them. But, you know, we were happy with keeping them with three, you know, up until that point. So we were pretty upset about that, man, and that's something that's going to give us something to work on.
Linebacker Sean Weatherspoon with us this week on the Mike Smith Coaches Show in our player segment, brought to you by Ackerman Security. They present the Ackerman Security Defensive Player of the Game. Don't forget, you can protect your home and family for just $18.95 a month. Monitoring fee, no cost to switch. Online right now at AckermanSecurity.com. Stay tuned. More with Sean Weatherspoon coming up when we continue from Flowery Branch after this on 7-9 The Zone.
No, he won't. Paul Warlow sacked him. The ball popped loose. But Flynn already ruled down on the sack back at the 18, loss of 7.
Get coverage of every NFL game on NFL Mobile. Call Star NFL to get NFL Mobile now only from Verizon, built to bring you the game.
Back with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, Sean Weatherspoon here with us as well as the Falcons get ready for Washington on Sunday at 1 o'clock inside the Georgia Dome. AT&T's Countdown to Kickoff starts our coverage at 11 a.m. with J.P. Peterson and Algie Crumpler on the floor of the Dome. The old alma mater was in town this weekend, Spoon.
Yeah, they were, man. It didn't go too well. The guy's fault, though. You know, that's all you can ask, man. It's a championship game. A lot of big plays made out there. But Auburn ultimately had that running game rolling.
Yeah.
You got a good – there was a good fall. I had a chance to do the game on the radio, and Auburn – it was a predominantly Auburn crowd, but I will say that I've been to games where teams that have played in that game have not had as many representatives as Missouri had. Missouri had a nice faction of fans here, not surprising to you.
Well, that's it says a lot about them because I know they had to go through some harsh conditions just to get out this way, but with the snowstorm they had when they were traveling, so – and it was good to watch on TV to see, you know, the support and see the guys out there fighting, man. It was a fun game to watch, but just didn't get the result we wanted, you know.
You got there at a time when things were starting to move forward.
Yep.
A little bit, you got here, there had already been some success, and you helped exclamate it. Now, what did you learn in Columbia in that building process that will help you going forward next fall?
I learned that you have to believe. Because when I went on my visit there, you know, it wasn't much they could show us. You know, it was all about, you know, what we were going toward. And I think, you know, they had some wins. You know, Coach Pinkel had won, but, you know, the facility was changing. You know, they were doing a lot of things from that aspect and with the academic center and, you know, the new locker rooms that we have there.
Right.
It was a lot of things that, you know, they talked about that we couldn't actually see, but we believed in it. And once we went there, you know, we ended up winning 40 ball games in my 4 years. So, you know, it was fun. I think that's something that has helped me, you know, to become a winner and to not just want to, you know, be mediocre and, you know, win 3, 4, 5 ball games. You know, we have to push further and push harder. And I think that's something that was instilled in me from a long time ago.
As a former player at Mizzou, how did you take the idea of changing conferences? You had some long-rooted rivalries in the Big 12 that you played. One of them, I know, was Iowa State. That was a big rivalry for you. But no,
it's tough to go to Ames, Iowa now.
It can be cold.
What was tough about it, Spoon?
Hey, the high grass.
Oh, they put high grass? They didn't cut the grass?
Grass is a little higher.
Slow you guys down a little bit.
Really?
And definitely cold out there.
Yeah, to me too. No, but truthfully, though, I don't think we've ever really asked you what you thought about the school changing and going to the SEC. We know it's the biggest carrot out there being in this conference, but what was your thoughts as a former player kind of seeing your team move?
Initially, you're like, man, we were part of the Big Eight, you know?
Right.
So, you know, it's a lot of history, you know, there. And like you said, you know, playing those rivalry games with – you got Nebraska, they left. So that was kind of like the turning point in it. You know, when Nebraska left, I could see that, you know, things were going to change. And, you know, such a great opportunity like the SEC seemed like a good idea at the time, you know. And last year it didn't go so well. But this year, you know, we had a better year. And obviously, you know, the SEC cut that nice check.
Yeah.
to get Mizzou to come down to the South. And I think it's something that's going to be good. You know, it's awesome that I can see them play, you know, and I have a chance to maybe go between the hedges and watch them play or some of the other surrounding places that are SEC schools here.
Yeah, they're not really interested in seeing them between the hedges now for a while after coming down there and knocking the dogs off.
Hey.
It's interesting because I saw a clip of tape, and you grew up in Texas, went to school at Mizzou, but you have got as much school pride about Mizzou is anybody I know playing in the league, to the point where I think there were a bunch of you guys that went back, what was it, 2 years ago during a basketball game, got introduced at halftime.
Yeah.
There were like 16 of you guys that were all playing in the league, right?
Yes, sir.
It was crazy. Sir. I mean, you, Jeremy Macklin, I mean, it was unbelievable, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, when we all got there, I think they assembled a group of guys that really wanted to make something of themselves and actually make the school proud. And, you know, the school showed us so much love. I mean, if we acted like we didn't appreciate it, you know, it'd just be wrong. So, you know, we love it there. We love to go back. They treated us great. The coaches were awesome. They tried to make us into men instead of just football players. So, you know, it's always a great place to go back and visit, and I'm proud to be a Tiger.
Spoon, here comes the Washington Redskins into the Georgia Dome this weekend, this is a team you guys had a pretty good battle with up there. In fact, it was a play that you made that kind of changed the tide of the game. Washington driving inside your 10-yard line, and RG3 scrambles out of the pocket, and you drop the hammer on him, and he did not come back in the game. And ultimately, Kirk Cousins, although he threw a touchdown, ultimately threw two interceptions in the game. You changed the football game. What do you remember about that game, and how much does that carry over to this one?
I remember the atmosphere, you know, being up there at their place, FedEx Field, I think. Mm-hmm. Their crowd was pretty rough on us. You know, we're sitting over there on the sideline, and they're right behind our bench. And they were pretty rough on us out there. And, you know, it's one of those games where, you know, we didn't start fast on either side of the ball. I think they almost had 100 yards rushing. I think 46 almost had 100 yards in the first half. So, and he was a rookie, and it was quite the challenge because, you know, we had heard some things that he said in the media. And, you know, we were kind of pumped up for that one. And we just didn't start fast. But, you know, second half, we came out and we just continued to fight and got a good hit on the quarterback that kind of set the tone for the rest of the game. And, you know, we pulled out a big-time win up there. So, you know, we look forward to seeing them coming in. And, you know, it's another opportunity for us to go out and try to get a win in front of the home crowd. And I think that it can make us smile, you know, for at least the time being. So, right. You know, we look forward to it. And hopefully we get to see RG3. You know, he's coming into himself a little bit more this year. I know he kind of started slow, but, you know, we look forward to seeing him.
Spoon, there's a scenario playing out where you don't see the Redskins annually, although ironic that you'll play Green Bay in Green Bay again next year. You played the Redskins last year. You'll play them this year. How much carryover is there in a team like this as opposed to a divisional team who you know you're going to see twice?
Well, you know, there is some carryover because they run a unique system anyway. You know, they do their pistols, zone read option. They do everything. They have a quarterback that can throw it and run it, and they have receivers that can go get it. I'm really impressed with Garcon. That's one guy that I've seen throughout the year making a ton of plays for them. So, you know, there will be some carryover, but it's not like we know them that well, you know, like as to say knowing an opponent in your division, but there is some carryover. I do have some memories from that game, and hopefully we can make some more memories.
Don't forget, Falcon fans, if the Falcons score a touchdown in the fourth quarter this weekend, you'll have an opportunity to save $150 instantly on four new tires and an alignment at any Kauffman Tire location the next day only. So that's Monday. Got to get in to see the guys at Kauffman Tire, the tire guys you can trust.
All right, before we let you go, I know folks have probably heard an ad or two on the radio in the marketplace about the Spoonful of Hope Foundation and what you're trying to accomplish here. I know you had a huge deal back in early November, an event you were proud to do and that kind of thing. It's kind of a kickoff for stuff you want to do annually around here. But tell folks about the foundation and kind of what you're after there.
Well, the foundation is aimed toward the youth of Atlanta. This is my my new community, my adopted home, and I love it here. And I know that, you know, there are a lot of kids out there that could use, you know, some guidance, you know, some help in any form of fashion. So Spoonful of Hope is all about bringing hope to the kids and underprivileged families that, you know, athletically they can reach their goals, academically they can reach their goals, and just, you know, personally just maximizing their potential. That's what it's all about. So what we're trying to do is, you know, get out in the community and make a difference. You know, we've had a chance to do some Thanksgiving events where we go to the World of Coca-Cola and have a, you know, spoon feed a family where we have families come in, and, you know, the kids wrote essays about, you know, their situations, and we selected groups to come in and have a pizza party, give them a tour of the World of Coca-Cola, and, you know, some gift cards and things like that to, you know, make the holiday season plentiful. And I think, you know, that's something I always want to do, help others, man. And if it's all about making an impact in this journey that we call life. That's what it's really all about to me.
Spoon, I know you got some events coming up that are a part of that. Where can people go if they want to get involved and also see your schedule as to some of those events that are coming up that you're going to be involved in?
Yes, indeed. I'm glad you bring that up. One thing you can do, you can tweet me at SeanWSpoon56. I'm on Twitter. You can get at me on Instagram. I'm at SpoonJones56. And the big thing is my website, which is SeanWeatherspoon.org, and that has pretty much all the news of every event we're doing, and shows pictures from previous events, and, you know, kind of like our mission. And I think it's a pretty good website to go check out.
Something to be proud of, I know.
Most definitely, man.
Yeah, Sean Weatherspoon with us today on the player segment. Thanks as always. Appreciate your time, okay?
Thank you guys for having me, man. Truly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Right, Sean Weatherspoon with us on the player segment of the Mike Smith Coaches Show. We've got plenty more to go here as the Falcons and Redskins get ready for Sunday, Arch. Both teams are 3-10. Washington has now lost 5 straight after the loss to Kansas City yesterday. And, of course, the Falcons come in after the 1-point loss at Green Bay. AT&T's countdown to kickoff gets you started at 11 a.m. And kickoff is at 1 o'clock at the Georgia Dome. And more Archer and Bell with John Michaels coming up from Flowery Branch right after this.